Okay, so then I can definitely understand from listening to you and reading about this, like, labor, despite its contradictions, I think has played a big part in the politics of the working class of the UK. So it's kind of a hard thing to let go, you know? It's kind of hard to accept that it's no longer a workers' party by any meaning of that term, and it's just moved on to become part and parcel of petty bourgeois and bourgeois politics entirely. So some people have been trying to figure out a way of reviving it, of saving it. And of course, you have the Paul Masons of the world who have their approach, but you also have another approach, blue labor, which has gained a lot of attention, especially after Corbyn lost. So it stands for what it says are, quote, socially conservative, economically socialist policies, and that it upholds working class values. So as a representative of the white British working class, Alex, what do you think of that? What do you think of blue labor?
Hello there.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. I was just saying hello because as a duly elected representative of the, the white working class toxically masculine population.
Yeah. So I want to get your thoughts as a representative of those things and more.
Well, I've just joined Blue Labour because it's just so appealing to me.
Blue Labour is when someone sees how well the trad meme is doing on Twitter, and they're like, "What if this, yeah, but for labor?"
Yes. What if this, but with a Union Jack on it?
What if this?
Yes.
What if this, but we put the word socialist places?
What if not communism but communitarianism?
Go on.
What if community but plus religion,
oh yeah,
minus liberals equals own?
Yep. By the way, footnote, Lash, Charles Taylor.
God, yes, of course.
Christopher Lash and Charles Taylor. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need. You just need like two political theorists and a leader who sits in the House of fucking Lords. That's going to get you back in touch with the working class. It's a guy who's really got his finger on the pulse of like working class life. Now, like, I read like a response from like the Blue Labour point of view by this guy Paul Embry, who's an ex-official in the Firefighters Union, and yeah, he's more plausible and comes across as more sane than Paul Mason, but then again, so do most people, so not exactly a great marker of things. Now, what I regard Blue Labour as is they're a bunch of people who have diagnosed the symptoms whilst entirely missing the cause. So they'll be able to recognise the fact that the Labour Party has lost appeal to the working class, but they completely mistake as to why that is. And I've been reading their stuff, and like I follow like Embry on Twitter, and I've read some of his book about this. And what they're seeking to return to is, it's a product of like the same nostalgia that the Labour left has, which is that, well, they want it back is a period where there is some kind of like social democratic government where like I think that the likes of Embry are sincere in that he would probably want to see more working class MPs and councillors, etc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they say that, you know, the Labour Party is dominated by the middle class, they're right. Unfortunately, they don't understand why that is. Now, what we've been laying out in this episode is some of the reasons as to why the Labour Party has gone in that direction. But whereas the general line of the blue Labour people seems to be that they want to see greater working class participation, they might even be more favourable to like certain forms of strike action. But these are people who, at best, want to rebuild a tripartite state apparatus, which was last seen like in the 70s, where you get like organized labor, organized capital, and the government sat around a table negotiating things. A return to like the tripartite or corporatist state, as European political theorists might put it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that is that when that was built by like Wilson and Callahan, that was what spelt the death knell for working class politics. Now, to explain, the building of that tripartite apparatus doesn't really happen properly until like the late 60s and into the 70s. And it's done in order that the government and the trade union bureaucracy can manage class struggle on behalf of the capitalist class. And it was that building of that tripartite arrangement in the 70s that helps to divide and kill off the unified working class struggle of the early 1970s. So what the likes of like Glassman and Paul Embry and the others in Blue Labour want to get back to is a system which helped kill off unified working class struggle in the first place. And also, the Blue Labour types are actively hostile to militant working class struggle because they regard it they hold the same view of the working class that essentially the left does. They both view the working class as incapable of developing a political consciousness. The kind of like politics of Paul Mason and Paul Embry aren't actually in reality that dissimilar to each other. Both of them regard the working class as an object, not a subject of politics. They both regard it as something which needs to be led into a new state-based arrangement under capitalism, where they, being the leaders of this, will build a new kind of social democratic consensus. They do not regard the reforms in the post-war era as either the product of working class militancy or a revolutionary wave, which is how they were actually built. They want to use like parliamentary chicanery to try and get their way back to a social democratic settlement. And because they don't understand how that was brought about in the first place and how that compromise was inflicted upon the British bourgeoisie by militancy and revolutionary activity across the world, not just in Britain, but the building of the Soviet Union, then both of their attempts are equally doomed to failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Blue Labourites are a little bit more apparently sane than Paul Mason, but their politics are the same.
Yeah.
And they will fail just as readily as Paul Mason will fail.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I was really surprised reading their about page. And they have a line here that says, "Our politics is a challenge to the liberal consensus of the capitalist order, but it does not belong to the revolutionary left. Its inheritance is the labor tradition." I'm like, what? Well, then you're not really challenging the capitalist order then.
Well, they're not. They're not. I mean, in fairness, they're quite specific about that. They are... And it's a mythological tradition that they represent, this idea that they represent the idea, and Embry has expressed this explicitly, as has Glassman. They represent the idea that, that revolution and revolutionary working class action is not something which grows in the working class organically, but something which is brought into it by outside agitators from the middle class. That's how they regard like revolutionary activity that has taken place in the past. It's a very middle class assumption. It's a very it's in the kind of thing that the British Conservative Party and right wing Labour leaders have always said. Oh, the workers don't want revolution; they just want higher wages, which is a false dichotomy.
Yes,
because when in a state of decaying monopoly capital, you're not going to get higher wages without having a fundamental confrontation with the capitalist system and maybe actually needing to go all the way to the point of overthrowing it.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that the British working class is this humble worker who just wants a fair crust of bread at the end of the day and likes to, you know, he gets emotional and teary-eyed when he hears the national anthem, likes to stand up and salute the Queen, that kind of shit. does not reflect the revolutionary traditions of the working class, and it also is completely ahistorical, because yes. One of the things that the Thatcher administration and the Tories really wanted to do was to stamp out and destroy what Gramsci referred to as the organic intellectuals of the working class, the shop stewards movement, the working class, the self-taught, politically educated working class revolutionaries that defined a lot of the struggles in the post-war era, who didn't belong to the self-appointed left or the so-called traditionalist labor right, which Embury and Glassman represent. Those were the people who the ruling class made it their absolute priority to make sure were stamped out. Just as in the United States, the House and American Activities Committee post-World War II, its principal targets were the organic intellectuals of the American working class. And it only reached, like, you know, the stage of putting Hollywood stars on the stand in front of Joseph McCarthy much later. So the principal aim in, like, reactionary waves in Britain and America is to stamp out the working class militant, himself or herself, the person who lives and works amongst and is of the working class and is a revolutionary and is a trusted voice within that workplace or community. That's who the ruling class prioritizes getting rid of, and that's who the likes of neither Paul Mason nor Paul Embry nor alone Maurice Glassman understands as such a vital force for the working class tradition in this country. So they're both peddling mythologies, and both of them will ultimately end in failure.
Yeah, and I like your note here that you put in the notes, like, it's an anti-Marxist formation, like that point of view.
Oh, it's explicitly anti-Marxist, explicitly anti-communist.
Which is why it's ahistorical as well. Yeah. It's a bourgeois formation, and so it has this very inaccurate view of how history works and how it has worked.
And also, it's got a completely, like, ridiculous view of working class life.
Yeah.
Like, it views the British working class, probably won't be familiar with this. There was this old sitcom on TV in, like, the 60s and 70s here called In Sickness and in Health. It was about, like, this right-wing working class guy and his family. It was remade as All in the Family in the United States. And basically, like, this, the idea of the British working class as these cap-doffing humble Tories is the mythological view that, like, blue labor likes to go on about. They correctly identify the fact that the left in Britain is a bunch of bourgeois, very annoying idiots, but they're also putting forward, like, a bunch of bourgeois myths as well.
I mean, that's just such an easy observation. I don't really credit them for that.
No, it's not exactly. You don't need a great deal of study to watch an Owen Jones video and find him to be an irritating little dickhead.
So, Alex, if you don't agree with Blue Labour's conception of the working class, like, what are working class values? British working class values? Is it like dropping H's? Hello.
Yeah. It's dropping H's. Getting weeping whenever you see an image of the Queen.
That's how I see them, like, too.
periodic bouts of football violence. That's about it. No, but seriously, like, the idea that, like, there's a lot of values that are attached to, like, the working class in this country, a lot of which are contradictory and a lot of which are from, like, a very mixed consciousness, which they are in every single country. Mm-hmm. But, like, there are the best values of the British working class are exemplified in, like, the acts of, like, heroic resistance to, like, exploitation, building of, like, mass movements of solidarity, the building of, like, the working class movement that did terrify the ruling class from, like, the 50s through to the 80s, where it was powerful enough to actually force back the trend of deindustrialization that Lenin identified in the 20s, in the 1900s, and actually force improvements in the living standards of the working class. All of those traditions, the traditions that actually, the internationalist traditions, which saw, like, British dockers refusing to load arms supplies that were being sent to the White Armies in the early period of the Soviet Union during the Russian Civil War.
That's lit.
Those traditions are what's valuable and what should be cherished and should be re-established. Mm. This cartoon China plate bullshit of Blue Labour and the sort of absolute drivel of like NATO loving Paul Mason, that just needs to be thrown out the fucking window, because it's mythological garbage and it's a dead end. Mm. So there are traditions in the British working class that should be preserved and cherished and recreated in new generations, and the heroic history of the working class struggle should be something we are incredibly proud of. Mm. But like you know, flag waving garbage, or like the opposite of that, which is like the Owen Jones, Paul Mason, hate yourself because you're British kind of thing, all of that needs to be thrown out. It is a complete dead end. And that's also a reflection of the deeper fact that reformism and social democracy, not just in Britain, but in all the capitalist nations, especially the advanced ones, it's all hit a dead end. The unique combination of circumstances that we described earlier that produced the reforms of the post-war era, not just in Britain, but also in Western Europe and in Canada, where you are as well, all of that is gone now. Yeah. We're not going to get back to it. Mm-hmm. The choice now is you actually build a real Leninist party of the working class, where the working class is the subject of politics, not the object of it. Mm-hmm. You sign up for more years of, you know, deep entryism in the NDP, which will lead to nothing, or, you know, another attempt to reconstitute the left of the Labour Party, which will lead to nothing. So it's time to really drop the illusions. And as somebody who's like made those mistakes and had those illusions, it's time to actually learn from our history, not just put the video on repeat and try it again.